All right. Now, we'll start into this. They're going to go sit down, please. Now, I did some calculating, and the way it sits right now, each one of you needs to eat a half a chicken, 3 baked potatoes, a cup and a half of salad. That other one needs 4 tablespoons. We need to eat 2 rolls, 5 cookies, and 6 brownies. And drink a half a pot of coffee. We have plenty of food. I always like it when we have more than we need, because God provides. Amen. And it's there. And the reason I'm having you sit by each other is because you're going to be filling up each other's stuff. Now, you notice in front of you, you have 2 glasses. There's a larger glass and there's a little glass, right? Everybody got that? Don't use the little one. That's for communion when we get to that point. So when you go get your drinks, do that. If you want water, it's on the shelf back there. It's bottled water. Okay, the tap water here tastes kakapui. Okay, so we'll do that. But I've always wanted to do this because I've read the scriptures before about Jesus and the interaction he has with the people and also with the Last Supper, because what they were getting into was time for Pentecost. And they had the celebrations that they did over the year. And this time of the year, it's a little later, in next April, when the crucifixion takes place. But just before the Pentecost, Jesus knows that his time's coming. And so he wants to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. So the first scripture up there is, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that his time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And we know that what happened then is that Jesus, this is where he washed your feet. So I was going to have towels and stuff here, but I decided that takes a little bit too long, and the people's feet are a little too sensitive about their feet and stuff like that. So, but he's showing them his love. And when he washed their feet, he was showing them how much he loved them, because in that culture, feet washing was for the lowest of the low of the low. Amen. Okay, it was for slaves and people like that. Maybe a family member if it was a family of people that were doing it. So it was a low position. But Jesus took off his outer garments, put the towel around him, went around, washed everybody's feet. And they had sandals of those days. So do you imagine the last person getting their foot washed? It's like, okay, put your foot in the mud here. Well, didn't say he changed the water out or any of that, but I'm sure he didn't, do the stuff. But he went around, he washed everybody's feet. And interestingly enough, who was in the group but Judas Iscariot? Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him, was in the group, and Jesus washed his feet. He was the treasurer. He carried the money bag. He was a crook. He stole the money all the time out of the money bag, it says. But yet Jesus let him carry the money bag, giving him the opportunity to do what's right. Now, we know, as Vaughn said in the worship we're giving, we can't do it right. We can't do everything that's there. We sometimes try, but sometimes that's even a fault because we're trying. And when we do that, what are we doing? We're getting back into works. I'm going to earn this. I'm going to earn it. Well, some of this, and actually, there are some churches and some groups that will tell you, you don't deserve to sit at the table. Surprise, none of us do. Now, that's the thing. None of us deserve anything. That's the cool part about it, because like Vaughn said, it's all about grace. Amen. God created us knowing we would fail. We did. When we failed in the garden, did God come? What's going on? God says, "Why? Where are you? Why are you hiding?" Now, did God know why they were hiding? Of course. He knows everything. He asked that for our benefit. Do you know why you're hiding? Well, we hid ourselves because we're naked. What'd he say? Who told you you were naked? Isn't that interesting? That up until that point, they were naked, walking in the presence of God, possibly in the presence of others who were in the garden that were there, that Adam and Eve had before they left the garden. We don't know. But they were naked, and they were unashamed because they had the glow of God about them. Remember when Moses went up on the mountain? And he came down and he had a radiance and it started to fade. So he put a cloth over his head so the people wouldn't notice it fading because he was embarrassed that he couldn't keep the Shekinah glory going. But here they are. They couldn't do it. So see, people will say, well, you don't deserve to sit at the table. Neither do they. Amen. You're not worthy. Neither are they. But you know what? You are. Maybe they're not. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you walk with the Lord, you are worthy through Jesus Christ, not through your efforts. Through your efforts. And so here's Jesus. He's going to be crucified. And he wants the meal with him. The next scripture is in Luke. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. I've eagerly, not just kind of, I've eagerly desired to eat this meal with you before I suffer. I've wanted to do this for years because Jesus eagerly wanted to do it. He knew what he was going to go through. He knew the pain was going to be there. And he eagerly wanted to share the meal with them. Because in that culture, in that time, meals together were very important. If they made a bargain and a deal, they celebrated it over a meal. When the angels come and we're going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, they ate over a meal. All the time, you go through scripture, you find them having meals. When Zacchaeus became a believer, he invited all the sinners into his home to have a meal. Okay? And so meals were very important. They were the way they communed, the way they connected. And so he's eagerly awaiting this because he knows what's going to happen. And he said, you know, I want to do this before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Okay? So what's he telling them? This is the last time. That's why it's called the Last Supper. Have you ever thought of that? Okay. This is the one. I'm not going to do it again until it has been fulfilled. After taking the cup, he gave thanks. Well, let's see. Let's pause right there. Because this is, well, let's go on in a minute. Okay. So we'll do it. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. Divide it among you. Now, that's why you have a little cup. And you have a little bread, and you have a decanter. And you're sitting close to each other, so you're not drinking of yourself. Okay? Because I'm looking, you're close enough to somebody else that you can go. And on that table back there, you may need to get another decanter. If you only take 3/4 of the little glass, you have enough. Okay? For 6 people at the table. You guys, you can drink up. You guys really drink up, okay? And the thing of it is, Passover, they drank wine. How many of you have ever celebrated Passover? How many glasses of wine do they drink?
I wasn't a big wine drinker.
Neither was I. It was Jews. But it's actually, if you...
Huh?
They can't remember. He had too much wine. Yeah, 5 glasses. They partied. They partied. They had, during the celebration of Passover, they had 5 glasses. Not this little shot glasses. 5 glasses of wine. And again, I'm not a wine drinker. But anyway, so they drank this. But he says, divide it among you. So that's why you have the decanter, because you're going to divide it among you. Okay? The bread is in the bowl. It came from the same bag, because they were rolls over there. But they came from the same bag of the same store, probably the same mixer, cooked in the same oven. So we'll pretend they're the same loaf, because that's what it was. But he says, divide this among you. In other words, share with each other. Share with each other. Okay? Okay. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So he's telling them, I'm going to go away, and I'm not coming back till the kingdom of God comes. I'm leaving. I'm checking out. On purpose. I planned it. I know what's coming. I knew what needs to be done. So I set it up so it could be done the way it needs to be. See, and that's the other thing. Some people get mad because they say, the Jews killed Jesus. No, the Jews turned Jesus over to the Romans. The Romans killed Jesus. No, Scripture says he laid down his life, but he took it up again. He gave his life. If you give your life, nobody can kill you. They may put nails through your hands, through your feet. They may scourge you. They may whip you. They may make you bleed a lot and hurt a lot. But Jesus decided when it was done enough, he said what? It is finished. It's an accountant's stain, which means paid in full. You don't have to do anything. It's been paid in full. If you went down and bought a car, and say I was in a generous mood, which I'm not. No. And I went down and I paid off your car. You can't go down and buy it, pay it, because it's paid for. They can't take your money legally because it's been paid for. And that's what Jesus is doing. He says, it's not going to happen until the kingdom of God comes and things are set right. And that's what I'm going to do. And he took the bread, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, he took the bread. Now, yours is cut up in little pieces, because I don't know where your hands have been. No, it just works out better that way. So we cut them up, okay? But he took the bread, And he broke it. Back then, bread was in a big, like more like a tortilla, more like a pocket bread. And they'd tear off a piece and eat it. So I got a little piece about like this in the cup for each of you. Or for you, you get your own little wafer. But you tear off a piece and you eat it because it comes from the same loaf, signifying that we're all equal. We are all equal. Nobody gets a special piece except for me, because I'll be up there. But that roll that I have up there came from the same bag, so it's not special, okay? And so it says, and gave it to them, broke it to them. In the same way, after supper, okay? So what did he do here first? He broke the bread. He gave it to them and said, eat. Then after supper, so when should we pause to eat? Now. Probably now, right? Because it's time for supper. Because we're not going to do this, that. So we'll pause right here, and we're going to eat now. Is that okay with everybody? Too bad if it's not. Okay. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the food, the food that we have to eat. I ask you to bless it to our strength and nourishment, that we may grow and do the things we need to do, and that we can come back and finish communion now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, over here, we have a table set up so that you can go down both sides. Take your plate with you when you go down there. Well, let's pick up where we left off, shall we?
Sure.
We left off with this scripture here. It says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Notice what it says, after supper. So the Last Supper began before they celebrated the Passover, and then it picked up after they were through with it. And when they did that, when it says he picked up the cup, in the Passover, when they celebrate the Passover, there's an extra cup at the meal. And the theory was that Jesus would come at some time, and so they thought it would be at that time. And so they set an extra cup down there for Jesus. Had wine in it. They were so concerned about it.
Wasn't it the Elijah cup?
Elijah cup, right.
Yep. No, it was Jesus, though, right? It was the Messiah.
It was the Messiah, right. And so they thought he would come. And so what happened is they would take the cup and they would mark where the wine level was in the cup, just in case he snuck in and got a sip when they weren't looking. Okay? And so the cup was there. So a lot of scholars believe that when it says he took the cup, that it was the Elijah cup, and not knowing that it was Jesus that actually did it. But Jesus, they figured Jesus took it, the cup, and he said, you know, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The old covenant was the law. This is the new covenant. And in the new covenant, Jesus gave his blood to pay for our sins. And in paying for our sins, it changed everything. And I remember when I was first struggling, when I was studying to go into ministry, I was at a workshop, a conference down at the Crystal Cathedral in California, and I was still very steeped in LDS. So it was all I knew. It's all we had growing up. I grew up out in the country. We had the ward. That was it. All my friends, everybody went to the ward. Okay? And so I still had all this stuff in my head. I'd been on a mission and all that. And the one pastor got up and he started explaining it. And he said, how he explains it is, God and Jesus are in heaven, and God's looking down and he looks worried. Of course, we know God doesn't worry, but, and Jesus says, what's the matter? He says, oh, it's those human beings. They're always getting in trouble. And Jesus says, well, why don't we make a new covenant with that? He goes, I've tried that several times and it doesn't work. He says, well, this is a different covenant. And he said, well, what do they have to do? And Jesus said, nothing. I'll do it. And God said, nothing. I think they can do that. So that was the thing. So it took and so what he's talking about here, it's a new covenant that he poured out for him. And then verse 19, and he took the bread and says, in remembrance of me. So what we're going to celebrate here in a minute is our version of communion, when we drink the wine and we eat the bread, in remembrance. Why is that? Why would he say that? They have the Passover. They remember it. The problem is they only celebrate Passover once a year. In the meantime, there's problems. Because we forget, okay? So do this in remembrance of me. And 20 says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, for us. So how often are we supposed to celebrate communion?
Now, look at that. Can you tell me how many times we're supposed to celebrate communion?
After supper.
How many times do you eat supper?
Every day.
What Jesus is saying is, every time you eat, you can make it communion. If you remember Jesus. I have a friend up in Ogden, Father Jim. He and his partner celebrate communion every single day. Once a day, they celebrate communion every single day. As a reminder, we have good memories, they're just short. And so sometimes we need to be reminded that we can't work for it, we can't do all the things, all that stuff. It's a reminder, and we remember to do it. And we do it after supper. And if you notice, what are we consuming? Grape juice, wine, bread. Common everyday parts of a Jewish everyday meal. In that culture, bread and wine was the main makeup of the meals they had because that's what they had the most of. Animals were rarely used, they're only in special sacrifices. So they ate a lot of bread, not like our bread. A lot of times they bake bread by making the dough, and they build a fire, and they scrape the coals out, and they throw the bread in the fire, cover them over with coals, and they brush the ashes off the bread, and then they eat it with a nice fresh taste of ash. I'll pass, thank you. No. But he says, my blood is poured out for you. Then in Luke 22, 29, 30, and it says, I confer on you, just as my Father conferred on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom. Okay? He says that when we become believers, God confers on us so that we can eat and drink at his table. Just as God now allows Jesus to eat and drink at his table. So we can do that. So that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, he took care of it all. You can eat. We are going to sit at God's table in the next world we live in. We are going to sit there just like Jesus is, because Jesus made it possible for us to do that. But we use everyday things to remind us. We use grape juice, apple juice. I heard some soldiers, when they were in a place, in a bunker, they used beer and crackers.
Amen.
Hey, whatever you got, you know. Well, did they drink beer in the Bible?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
It was safer than water.
It was safer than water. In fact, they used the wine to make the water more palatable and drinkable. Paul even told Timothy, drink some wine for your stomach's sake because of your illnesses. So he was telling him, it's medicinal if you use it smartly and wisely. And so in that, you know, and then, well, but the thing of it is, yeah. It goes with eating, too.
Yeah.
Do I use it wisely? No. Have I in the past? Yes. But I just, never mind. Okay. So he says we're going to eat and drink in the kingdom. So we can celebrate communion anytime, any place, as long as when we do it, we are doing it in remembrance, on purpose. To remember. And so, you know, if you're having trouble with something and you want to celebrate communion to remind you that you're part of God's kingdom, you're part of his kingdom, and you're going to sit at the table in heaven. So we've celebrated communion. We ate before, we ate after. Now we're going to eat and drink. sensibly, because we're having grape juice. Now, I'm not a big fan of grape juice, but that doesn't matter. It's not my table. But it could be anything. I could use Kool-Aid, because it doesn't say. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have the praise team go back up. We're going to sing a communion song. And then we're going to have the praise team sit back down. Scripture that warns against partaking of the Lord's Supper in a wrong manner. That's not what people make of it. People make that out of judgment things about being worthy. But it has to do with how the communion is taken and why. What he was talking about was a group of people that would come. They used to gather together and share a meal, and then they would celebrate communion. But problems developed because there were people who would come to the meal, and when nobody's looking, they would go up and they would come up to the communion and they'd help themselves. They were taking it in a wrong manner. They were excuse me. Kay almost got a piece of bread. Punk. They would take it in a wrong manner, and they would eat ahead of time. And Paul said, "Don't you have meals at home if you're that hungry? If you're that hungry that you can't wait, eat before you come, so that you don't treat communion with disrespect." So there is that in the scriptures. So when you read your scriptures and you come to that passage about being, it's the way they did it. It's not that they were unworthy. They were just stupid in what they were doing, okay? Because we're taking communion for a reason. We're taking communion not because we're hungry. Because we should be, anybody here not full? I say, yeah. Come back tomorrow. Right. She's having a procedure tomorrow. But so they were taking it unworthy. And so Paul says, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. It's the wrong thing to do because it's not right in what you're doing. Okay? Now, on the tables before you, you have a little bowl. And it has little dried out pieces of bread. They will stick to your teeth. Okay? But we have a tradition. What we're going to do is now, you're going to pick up, one of you is going to pick up the bowl. Okay? And then you pass it to somebody else. Everybody got a piece of bread? Okay? Now what we do is we have the words on the screen. So we're going to read those along in the words. And then we're going to take the bread. And then it tells you that we're going to take it. So then you take the bread when we get to that point and go from there, okay? On the night Jesus was betrayed, let me thank you for the meal first. Loving God, we thank you for this bread and this juice that you have provided for us, your children. We ask that you bless these elements that they may become for each of us the body and the blood of Jesus, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Jesus, on the night you were betrayed, you celebrated the Passover with your disciples. At the end of the meal, you took the bread and gave thanks. In giving thanks, it was blessed. You broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus, I now eat this bread, remembering that you was broken for me. And there's nothing magic about the words. You don't have to memorize them. We put them up there on the screen so we can all participate at the same time. But if you're in your home and you don't remember the words exactly, what do you say? Jesus, thank you for dying for my cross. Thank you for this bread that reminds me. You eat it, okay? You can eat the whole loaf if you want. You don't have to eat just a little teeny piece. Okay? But Barry says, The juice we give is too touch a small amount. It doesn't wash down the dry bread. Okay? And you have a little bit bigger thing we have. Okay? Then, likewise, after the meal, you took the cup and gave thanks. And in giving thanks, it was blessed to pour the cup into each one. You took the cup, okay? In giving thanks, it was blessed. You gave it to them and said, "Take, drink, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of the sins of the many. And each time you drink it, remember me. Jesus, I now drink this juice, remembering that you poured out your blood for the forgiveness of our sins." Now, we can do this at home. If you look at your handouts, the very last page gives a list of how things went. Okay? First, he took the bread and the cup. Okay? Next, he gave thanks for them. In giving thanks, what he's doing in the, under the old covenant, he's giving a thank offering. It's one of the many offerings that the Jewish people made. Okay? He blessed them and blessed them and moved them from the common position of bread and juice to a higher position of his blood and his flesh. Okay? He gave them to the apostles. Now, some of you are giving to other people, and some of you are pouring your own. But when you gave it, you share. This is communion. Another word is fellowship. Okay? Now, when in this light, some people believe in transubstantiation. Okay? Transubstantiation is a belief that when you bless them, they actually become the body and the blood of Jesus. Consubstantiation means they become the body and the blood, but they remain also the bread and the juice. Or there is the blessed sacrament, Eucharist. They stay what they are. And we're doing it in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Okay? He told them, "Take, eat, and drink, all of you." Remember, it says, "all of you." No one is left out. Amen. Take, drink, all of you. Don't fill out of there. And he said, "This bread is my body, and it's given for you. Cup is my blood, and the new covenant poured out for you." Reminder. So when we do this at home, we follow this. We get to this part. We acknowledge that we are doing this as a reminder. There's nothing magic about this. It's a reminder to help us stay on track. Because I don't know about you, but I can get off track very easily. And then he told them, "Remember me. Remember what we're doing." Now, our tradition is we close with the Lord's Prayer. Is that a required part? No. Technically, the Lord's Prayer is part of the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the disciples said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." The Old Testament was that method. It was another method that Jesus taught the disciples. Because there was the Jewish people taught a rhythm in everything to help us remind us. So, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven," remind us who God is. So the whole thing behind the Lord's Prayer is actually from the Old Testament. But if you go in and you did every one of those things that we say during the Lord's Prayer, it would take us over an hour to say that prayer and repeat and do everything that it says. But again, we've taken what Jesus said and we've embellished it. We've made it more than it is. So we're not going to do the Lord's Prayer today. Why? Because I don't want to.
Amen.
Because there's nothing sacred about it. See, we make sacred cows of stuff. And we have to remember, don't do that. Keep them in the proper place. Every week, we light these candles. This is the Christ candle. Or that's the Christ candle. This is the people candle. The fire comes in. We light the candles. At the end of the service, we come in, we light the candle, the wick off of the candle lighter. We carry it outside. Okay? It's to remind us that the Holy Spirit comes into the service. We bring it, put it in Christ's name. We bring it to the people. We go out. We put our wick out and go out. At the end of the service, we bring the wick, the candle lighter in, unlit. We light it off the Christ candle, put it out, carry it out, and it symbolizes us now carrying the Spirit of Christ out into the world, out to those people who don't know the things that Jesus Christ has done for us, that we don't have to jump through hoops and loops. We have to recognize that Jesus, what Jesus did, but you know, that's what it is. We can't make idols of things because we can make an idol of this candle. Now, on the tables, you have candles. Why are they there? Because I like them. They were the Advent candles. This was the Advent candle. But I wanted to light them again. I've been lighting them every week because we light it once or twice. So the one that gets lit first gets burned the most. And then we get rid of them. And I thought, why? So we've been lighting the candles because they're pretty. There's nothing grandiose about them. They're reminders. So much of what we do, God has given us to remind us that he's already taken care of it. That we can quit struggling. We can quit trying so hard to do the right things. Don't go out of your way to do bad things, but you know, we're going to blow it. We're going to make mistakes. Christ has already taken care of it. Thank you. Sometimes I do things in my house and I go, oh, Lord, sorry, thank you. I did it again for the bazillionth time. It's to remind us that we are free in Christ. Amen. This is to remind us. You don't have to have candles in your home. Just something to remind. And you take time, you stop and take time to remember. That's the point, to remember that it's done. So when somebody asks you, why do you care? Because Jesus is Christ. He is Lord. He's taken care of it. We don't have to worry about it. We're free. Indeed, we are free. Now, I want you to close your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message today? Would you pray with me? Living God, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to gather here today to celebrate each other's lives, to rejoice in your presence. Because, Lord, it's a great thing to do. And I thank you for getting to be able to get to know everybody here. I ask that you help us to get to know each other better. And Lord, when we go out the doors, that it doesn't stop there, but continues on, that we can draw closer to you. And that we can keep everything in a perspective of what's going on. And to rejoice always. In Jesus' name, amen.